Open your Bibles here tonight. We'll be in John chapter 8 to start, and then we'll go to John chapter 1 tonight. John chapter 8 to start. This Christmas season that we're in, we sing this song, Emmanuel. We sung that this morning. And Emmanuel means God with us. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit tonight, about our Lord Jesus Christ during this Christmas season. And John chapter 8, and beginning in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not that thou art a Samaritan and hast a demon? And Jesus answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Bless it as we look into it. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And Lord, I thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. And I pray, Lord, tonight that as we look into it, that you would guide us in thy way through your Holy Spirit. Help me honor your Son, your word. And Father, may you be glorified through everything that's said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This passage, 48 down through the end of the chapter, is a very tense moment. Because Jesus is saying something here that I want us to look at here tonight. I heard a man say this one time. He said, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say he's God. And I thought to myself, man, you have never read the Bible. And I heard him say that, and I thought, you know, you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. This passage here, I want to read something, and then I want us to look at when did he declare himself to be God. Just follow along as I read down through the end of the chapter. He said, I have not a demon nor devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall not see death. The Jews standing there, verse 52, they reacted to that. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know thou hast a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou say, If a man keeps my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thyself? Verse 54, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And I should say, if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Verse 57, these Jews were just like, they were over the top. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. When did he declare himself to be God? In that passage. And what did he say, Karen?
He said, I am.
I am. Now, I am, that means self-existent. He's just here. He wasn't created. He's never going to be uncreated. He's the self-existent. He's just here. I am. I am that I am. I'm the self-existent one. Now, did the Jews get what he was saying there? They got it pretty quick, because what did they want to do? They picked up what? So, yeah, they nailed it. And anybody says that Jesus never declared himself to be God, they've never read the scriptures. They don't know the Bible. And he declared, and they got it. They understood. Now, with that being said, turn to John chapter 1 here, because we talk about Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus declared himself to be God. In Revelation 1:10, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and what?
Omega.
Alpha is what? Right, beginning, but what is that? The first letter in the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek. What's omega?
The last.
The last. I'm A to Z, and so to speak. He is everything of everything. Now, for John here, the gospel, he's declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. That's when John wrote the gospel, he is declaring Jesus is the Son of God. That is the theme that runs over and over again through the gospel of John here. Now, what is unique about John? Him mentioned in John chapter 1. Do you see it? But it's mentioned in the other Gospels. Why doesn't John mention Bethlehem or the birth of Christ? What's the first verse say? In the what? In the beginning. He is taking us back to the beginning. Now, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. Here, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Logos of God, the Word, established the deity of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those three phrases, in the beginning. Now, I read a commentary here, and this guy got me a little, I couldn't quite follow where he's going. When he says in the beginning, he took it in the sense that God, if you went way back, wherever, far back in the beginning, you wanted to go, God was there. It's not talking about the beginning of God, because God had no beginning. He's self-existent. We know that because all things were made by him. It's talking about creation, verse 3. Verse 3 and verse 1 tie together. It's talking about in the beginning of creation, when the world was created. Now,
for time to exist, time, what do you need to have time exist? You need something in order time to exist. What do you need for time to exist?
Beginning.
You have to have a beginning. Yeah.
For time. See, you have to have a starting point for time. If you're timing something, when did you start your time? Well, for us, time started in the beginning, with creation. God is outside of time because God is what? He's eternal. He doesn't have time because he never has a beginning. Now, God is like a circle. If you have a perfect circle, show me where a circle begins. Where does it begin? It doesn't. If I have a straight line, where does this straight line begin? Well, yes, if we read from left to right, it begins on the left. That's right. That's true. But you can see, we're like a straight line. We were born, and in this world, we're going to die at some point. We have a straight line. But God's eternal. He has no beginning and no end. It's like a circle. So God's outside of time. But for us, in the beginning, when creation started, in the beginning of everything was the Word. Now the second part, in the beginning was the Word, that is the eternal, the Logos of God. And who is verse 1 referring to? Well, if you go down to verse 14 in that chapter, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. He came into the world. So John 1 and John 1:14 tie together. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, if somebody was just to stop right there, they would say, and the Word was with God. Well, if the Word was with God, he wasn't God. So John wants to make it very clear that nobody ever get confused. He goes on to say, and the Word was God. See, the middle part of the verse says, and the Word was with God. Well, he didn't want anyone to get confused because the Word was with God. It made a distinction between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word was with God. So we have within here, we're starting to see the Father and the Son. And distinct and yet unity. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, in Genesis, it says, let us make man in my image. Ah, yes, exactly, in our image. And again, that ties in here with John 1:1. You see, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was involved in creation. He was with God and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you call John chapter 1 here? Now, if somebody was to look at the world just through the natural eyes and creation, that's called general revelation. That's everybody can see general revelation. You can look at the sunset, you can look at, you know, the trees and mountains and all these things God made, the oceans. That's just general. Everybody sees that. This here is special revelation. This is something we only know because God reveals it. This is special revelation. God tells us we weren't back in the beginning. God reveals these things to us so that we might understand who Jesus Christ is. Now, if we just had John chapter 8 and verse 58, but didn't have John chapter 1, verse 1, when Jesus says, I am, they all tie together. In other words, as John is speaking here, he gives us John chapter 1, so when we get to John chapter 8, it all makes sense to us. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We say Emmanuel, God with us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended, not be able to overcome it. Now, this light that came into the world.
You ever been down in the, like, Luray Caverns and they cut the lights out on? You ever been out in a deep cave like that and they cut the lights out? Have you ever stuck your hand in front of your face and you just can't see it at all? It's like dark, dark, dark. I remember as a kid when field trips, you know, in school, we went there. And now if you just strike a little match in that darkness, would that seem pretty bright? See, the greater the darkness, the brighter the light. And Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into the world. And he was the light of men. He was the true light, the light that shineth in darkness. This world's in a dark place. And he was the light that came into the world to help mankind see the truth of God. Well, that's a testimony that we have of John, of the Apostle John here. Verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist here. And the same came as a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, these verses here are so deep theologically and so rich for us as believers that we have a great God who left the glories of heaven, came down to earth, and lived a life we could not live. Because verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, why did Jesus Christ have to be the God-man?
He was perfect.
Okay, he was perfect. Okay, he was absolutely perfect. But why did he have to be the God-man?
He had to be a person so that he could bear sin, our sins.
Okay.
He had to be human to take on our human sins.
Okay, right. Now, Jesus came to John the Baptist and said, I want you to baptize me. Identified with fallen humanity at that point. He was baptized to show that he was identifying himself with fallen humanity, that he was going to be that sin bearer for us. And John the Baptist said of Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. That's the incarnation. That is Jesus Christ coming and veiling himself in flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when Jesus Christ came into this world, I heard somebody say it like this, that Mary, when you get a letter in the mail, it's in an envelope.
You have the letter inside, you have the envelope. Mary was the envelope that carried God's love letter to earth for us. She was the one that carried the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, the Son of God. The Word was made flesh, His incarnation, God in flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened to Jesus when He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? He glowed, okay? Right. It was kind of like the veil just parted a little bit, and His glory just kind of just was shown to His disciples. And they said it was even whiter than white could be. That glory that He had, it was kind of veiled within Him. It was still there. He was as much God as He was man, as much man as He was God. He was the God-man. But He was full of grace and truth. The special Son of God, the begotten, the one and only. That's what the word begotten means, the one and only Son of God, the special Son of God. This God-man that came in the world was the Son of God who walked among us. John bear witness of Him, verse 15, crying, saying, "This was Him who I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, is ranked higher before me, for He was before me." Speaking again of the eternality of Jesus Christ. "And of fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him." You know, this Christmas time, the babe in the manger was the Son of God who came into this world to live a life for us that we could not live. He was the Son of God. We beheld His glory. Now,
there is a religion that says God has no Son. Not began. Religion that is? Muslims. That God does not have a Son. Well, he that
denies the Father and the Son, he denies the Son, denies the Father too. These verses teach very plainly here that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that He came into the world to save sinners. John the Baptist testified, and the Apostle John testified of these things. The Logos, the living Word of God, came into this world. Verse 29 there of John 1. "The next day John seeing Jesus come unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that was God's plan. The sin of the world will be put onto Him. Now, as Jesus Christ lived, He was born, lived, and died on the cross for us, He was that Lamb ordained of God before the foundation of the world to take away the sins of the world. And as Jesus Christ lived in this world, He lived it in order that He might give us eternal life, and through that life we might have union with Him and through the Father and through the Son. The incarnation of Christ, Christmas time, this is what we think about, the Son of God being born into this world, the deity of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt on, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Those two qualities there at the end of verse 14, full of grace and truth, are an encouragement for each of us that the grace of God, God's unmerited favor, God, through His Son, is gracious to us. But it's grace and truth together. The truth of God is, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's truth. The grace of God is, for whosoever shall believe on Him shall have eternal life. That's the truth of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the grace of God there. The truth of God is you need to repent. The grace of God is He's given us a way of eternal life. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ in verse 17. You know, this Christmas time, there's a lot of people. Now, why does a babe in a manger at Christmas time appeal to people? Why does the babe in a manger appeal to people?
It's not offensive.
It's not offensive. A babe is very controllable. You know, a little newborn baby, you can just put them there. They're going to sit there and, you know, they're not going to crawl all over the place. Yeah, it's not offensive.
It's very controllable.
But in God's plan, he didn't stay that way. And he grew to be a man. And when you get like over to chapter 8, after when he grew up and he has this encounter with the Pharisees and in chapter 8, and when he said to them, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Yeah, they didn't know what to do with this babe in a manger then. They took up stones to cast at him. But even in verse 59, Jesus hid himself. Even in that one aspect of that shows his deity. Because all of a sudden, you know, you're like so far away, you know, having a conversation, and they pick up stones to throw at you. That's not a very far miss. And all of a sudden, this person who was right there just goes, he's out of there. He just like goes right through the midst of them. That even of itself is a miracle that shows his deity.
And I often wonder about these Pharisees, how they went home that night and said, "Do you see what happened? He was just here and he's gone."
I just wonder how they talked and figured out how that happened, you know, but it goes to show the depravity of man's heart and the blindness. Even within that miracle, when they tried to stone him, they couldn't do it because the hour had not yet come yet. And it shows his deity. You know, as you look through Scripture, page after page, you can see the deity of Jesus Christ. Anybody that attacks the deity of Jesus Christ doesn't know God. They just don't know God. Jehovah's Witnesses say he is a God. He won't say he is the God, the Logos of God. They won't say that. They attack the deity of Jesus Christ. I asked a Jehovah's Witness one time, I said, "Okay." I said, "Who died for your sins on the cross?" And I said, "Was he perfect without sin? Because was he a sinner that died for another sinner? What good does that do? He had to be the Son of God without sin. He had to be God in flesh." They didn't have an answer for me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, the deity of Jesus Christ. We have a great God and a great Savior who had a plan, God's plan from eternity past to eternity future. He has this plan for us. We can worship the true God, Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. So when you read the Scriptures, as you go through the Scriptures, you can see the deity of Christ all over the place. And it's just amazing when you look at Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. Do you remember when they came to take, the Pharisees sent them to capture Jesus, and the guards came back and without him, and they said, "Why didn't you take him?" Do you remember what they said? Said, "Never a man spake like this man spake." You know, just his words alone showed that he was the Son of God. They went to arrest him, but I'm not touching this guy. The way he talks, I'm not getting near him. That's the Son of God. I mean, his deity is all over the place. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Logos, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Well, this Christmas season, let's celebrate Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word that dwelt among us, and the glory that we have with the Father. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've looked at here tonight, and the deity of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. And Father, I thank you that he is the living Word of God, seated on the throne of God, the right hand of the Father at this time. And Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ who loved us and left the glories of heaven and came down here to earth and to live a life that we never could live. But he died a death that we all should have died. And now he's risen again and victorious over death and the grave, ascended up to heaven again. And he's our hope. And one day he's coming back again. So Father, this week, may we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, who walked on this earth and lived a life we never could live. for his great love for us, full of grace and truth. So, Lord, bless us and help us to honor you. As John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, testify." May we testify of our great Savior this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.